Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story, an especially interesting essay, or some philosophical quotes or thoughts, or sometimes even little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that I should start out by saying Happy New Year to everyone, the new year, 2012, we didn't have the opportunity to do that last week, we were away. But wanted to read a little poem, and Mary Schmeek, the very talented writer from the Chicago Tribune, yearly kind of does a recap of the year before, and of course, the year before being 2011, greeting 2012. She entitles it, A Poem to End the Year and Greet 2012. Mary writes, 2011 now closes its door, the year of the protest, the year of the roar. From Egypt to Wall Street, folk rallied to vent. Let's topple the tyrants. Let's pitch a big tent. The Occupy movement invaded the streets. The bright Arab spring spread its seeds via tweets. The job market sputtered. The Dow was not healthy. And Warren B. scolded, stop coddling the wealthy. But some of the rich said, I earned what I got. Why should I pay a tax on my mansion and yacht? Republican hopefuls said, time for the new. They went on display like a big vetting zoo. There's Herman, the vulture, and Ron, the old coot. And look, there's a shape-shifting critter named Newt. Dem donkeys brayed loudly. These guys are a farce. And quietly feared Mitt would kick Barack's arse. When Kate married William, we oohed at her dress. We growl at the rich, then devour their press. We cordled at Charlie, his tantrums and rants, and Weiner, who pointed his phone at his pants. So many things ended. Goodbye, Borders books. We'll cuddle up now with our Kindles and Nooks. The last shuttle flew a farewell into space. So long to the dream of a moon worth the race. Bin Laden was killed and our troops have come back, and yet we can wonder, what's won in Iraq? Meanwhile, in Chicago, the old regimes died. Queen Oprah signed off. A young Theo arrived. King Daly bowed out and King Ram swaggered in, but first came a race he was not sure to win. His rival said, Ram? He does not reside here. And what's even worse, the guy went to New Trier. Now Ram rules the roost with a strut big and bold. Sometimes the new rooster looks much like the old. And then there was Rod, our misguided ex-gov. He begged for some mercy. He prayed for some love. The jury said guilty. The judge said to jail. He'll pay for the way he put power on sale. Steve Jobs bid goodbye with the final word, wow. He's somewhere with Maggie. They're both at rest now. They're up there with Santo, who smiles at his fate as a new Hall of Famer, yet a little bit late. But lest it appear that the year was all gloom, God canceled the rapture. We're saved from the doom. A new year is dawning. New hopes on the rise. Now come the new stories and strokes of surprise. So from Mary Schmeek's poem ending 2011 and greeting 2012. Always very funny, very talented lady. Of course, a lot of interesting things happening in and around New Year's and the beginning of the new year. Great football games, both pro games and the college bowl games. Very, very exciting. And finally got a little snow, which is which is great. And theater season kicks off, which is always a fun time. The winter theater season, because I should say that we have a theater season year-round in Chicago, so really knows no seasons. Had the opportunity to see at the press opening of the new Twyla Tharp Frank Sinatra musical, Come Fly Away. Of course, Twyla Tharp had a musical not too long ago, moving out pattern after the music of Billy Joel. And this is all Sinatra's music. And, geez, what a musical it is. Of course, it's Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that Come Fly Away opens and runs through January 22nd at the Bank of America Theater in Monroe. It's a new Broadway musical that brings together the legendary music of Frank Sinatra and the creative vision of Tony Award-winning choreographer Twyla Tharp. This one-of-a-kind experience combines the seductive vocals of Old Blue Eyes with the sizzling sound of a live onstage big band and the visceral thrill of Tharp's choreography. As 14 of the world's best dancers tell the story of four couples falling in and out of love, the audience will experience the exhilaration of a first kiss, the excitement of a first dance, and the bittersweet moments of a first goodbye in a world of sparkling romance and astonishing beauty. The New York Times raves, spectacular and dazzling, Twyla Tharp's electrifying celebration of the music of Frank Sinatra will sweep you up in a complete spell. The Associated Press calls Come Fly Away astonishing, a love letter to romance, not to mention the man and his music, with eight marvelous leads and an orchestra of sterling musicians. The Los Angeles Times recently raved, no choreographer alive knows more about getting pop songs on their feet than Twyla Tharp, and just about everything she knows is on view in Come Fly Away. Her dancers define that style with a spectacular authority. It's just a great musical. And I don't think we're being hyperbolic when we say 14 of the world's best dancers, because it is terrific. Very steamy, some very sensual dancing, but certainly as much energy as you've seen on the stage. And, of course, the great music by Frank Sinatra, of course, put me in the mood, because now I want to play a little Sinatra on the show today. But some of the songs that they are able to enjoy, Stardust, Luck Be a Lady, Let's Fall in Love, Fly Me to the Moon, Body and Soul, Here's to the Losers, That's Life, Making Whoopee, Jumping at the Woodside, Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night of the Week, Pick Yourself Up, Let's Face the Music and Dance, One for My Baby, The Way You Look Tonight, and My Funny Valentine, My Way, of course, one of his greatest, and New York, New York. Of course, Sinatra's arrangements come from a whole group of very talented musicians and conductors, Nelson Riddle, Don Costa, Billy May, Gordon Jenkins, Quincy Jones, Johnny Mandel, Neil Hefti, and just a terrific evening in the theater. Relatively short. It's an 80-minute long without an intermission, but certainly enough energy packed into those 80 minutes that you'll really enjoy it. So if you have the opportunity down at the Bank of America Theater, only a short period of time till the 22nd. We're seeing a lot of the Broadway and Chicago shows coming in and spending a short period of time here. But sometimes it's tough to get to them. But don't miss this one. A lot of fun. A lot of fun, and certainly a lot of great music. For the new year, a little information. Sex, it does a body good. Here's one New Year's resolution that won't be drudgery. Have more sex in 2012. Studies have found that having safe sex several times a week is good for your heart, muscle tone, and sense of smell. Sex also can improve your mood and make you feel closer to your partner. Newsweek recently listed six other good things. Having sex boosts the immune system by increasing antibodies, makes you look younger, burns 4 calories a minute, relieves pain by increasing endorphins and corticosteroids, promotes regular menstrual cycles, and helps fight incontinence in women by exercising the pelvic floor muscle. So there's a little bit of information. 4 calories a minute. That would, I'd pass on the Big Mac before you do that then, because it would be tough to burn all that off. But something to do in 2012. If you haven't done it in 2011, no better time to start than now. Of course, other great things that are coming. I want to get this little press release from our good friend Carla Gordon. Of course, one of the officers of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals and a great cabaret professional herself. She's thrilled to be joining Broadway star Sally Mays, jazz sensation award-winning Spider Saloff, and Chicago's cabaret leader Becky Menzie on a master teaching team as Chicago's Salon Series presents a cabaret interactive masterclass. And it's on Saturday, February 12th, from 11:30 to 3:30. Open to all participants and observers. Each instructor will be coaching in an area of her specialty. Sally Mays on interpretation of songs, Spider Saloff on the jazz cabaret blend and characterizations, and Becky Menzi on musical choices, and Carla on material development and comedy. Nobody better to teach that than Carla. There will be a real value for attendees at all experience levels relative to cabaret skill enhancement. Kind of interesting for 4 hours to enjoy a little bit of cabaret instruction. And for information, you can go to carlacabaret@gmail.com. Great group of ladies teaching. Of course, Becky Menzi is part of our ensemble. Kevin Moore presents. And, of course, this happens on Saturday, February 11th from 11:30 to 3:30. And, of course, the next day on Sunday, February 12th, you can all come on down to the main stage in Rogers Park on Morrissey Avenue, just a little bit west of Sheridan Road, and enjoy Kevin Moore Presents the Best of Broadway Musicals, The Music of the Night, which is the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, where we have a great cast together putting together one of our Broadway shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're very much looking forward to that, and certainly a lot of great things to do. Well, we had a little press release, which we missed. This was last week, but kind of interesting because what Drury Lane does, of course, Mr. Tony DeSantis was a great gentleman, of course, who started Drury Lane and had Drury Lane in Oak Brook. He has Drury Lane in Evergreen Park, where it first started, and of course, downtown at Water Tower. But he invites, and has been for 57 years. Good Lord, I didn't realize it was that long. Invited all the nuns in the area down to a show at the Drury Lane Oak Brook. And this was, well, how many nuns here? 500 nuns have traveled from numerous states for the 57th annual evening of complimentary dinner and theater and listened to see The Sound of Music, very appropriately, right? And Mr. DeSantis, who passed away in 2007, made this a habit because both of his daughters, of course, who grew up in Evergreen Park, went to Mother Macaulay High School, were taught by nuns. I don't know if there's any nuns at Mother Macaulay anymore. Maybe there's a few. Great opportunity for the nuns to get together and see each other and enjoy a great evening theater and, you know, say thank you for all the things that they, all the good things that the nuns did for us. But a lot of fun. And certainly his legacy lives on to do something like that and make something special like that happen. Well, as I said, I had the opportunity to see Come Fly Away, listen to some music of the great music of Frank Sinatra. So I thought we'd play that on our show today, kind of showcase Frank Sinatra's album, The Heart of the Matter. Frank Sinatra sings about love. One of my favorite songs, written by Nelson Riddle. Song of a lilting loneliness, of desperate heartbreak. We're all familiar with one of his classics, In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of calm. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her. Oh, lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. in the wee small hours of the morning. That's the time you miss her most.
Frank Sinatra, in the wee small hours of the morning. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Cure those winter blues at the Progressive Insurance 82nd Annual Chicago Boat Sports and RV Show, January 12th through the 16th. Midwest's premier outdoor show offers the best in boats, RVs, and equipment, plus ultimate in summer fun with new on-the-water activities and interactive learning exhibits. With new hands-on education specials on hundreds of boats, RVs, and marine accessories, and several new attractions, there's no better place for outdoor enthusiasts to prepare for summer fun than at the 2012 Progressive Insurance Chicago Boat, Sports, and RV Show through January 16th at the McCormick Place. With the addition of interactive activities like scuba diving and paddle sports, plus returning favorites and an expanded educational lineup covering everything for landlubbers and boaters, the 2012 show offers an ideal one-stop shop and winter escape for all things outdoors. The Progressive Insurance Chicago Boat, Sports, and RV Show offers visitors a summer escape and a unique opportunity to find products for any outdoor adventure and for every lifestyle and budget, said Keith Ogulnik, show manager. With the region's top dealers offering the best deals on boats and RVs, plus new educational seminars and fun attractions for anyone who enjoys the outdoors, there's no better winter destination to discover why life is better with a boat or an RV. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, entrepreneur, outdoorsman, empresario, one of the brightest stars in the world of national specialty shows, and the general manager of the 82nd Annual Chicago Boat, RV, and Outdoor Show through Monday, January 16th at McCormick Place, our good pal, Mr. Keith Ogulnik. Keith, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, it is not show season without my being on the air with you. How are you doing?
Good, my pal. Always good to hear from you. Always good to talk with you, and certainly continuing the tradition, and here we are again.
I'll tell you what, it's always great to be on with you. You're the consummate professional. First, I love the music, too, and Wee Small Hours. What a great one. I love that song. I love Sinatra. I don't think he's going to make it to the show, but you know what? It's all good. We're just thrilled to be on with you.
He's thinking about you anyway. But what a great year this year, and certainly as you do, you outdo yourself. I don't know how you do it, but exponentially each year gets bigger and better than the last, and here you have so many new things for this year.
We do, and I'll tell you what, we challenge ourselves every year to come up with something new, and it's really driven by our audience. We serve two customers. One are certainly our exhibitors, and the other would be our consumer audience. And, you know, they're spending their hard-earned dollars to come here, investing a lot of money to bring a family. We want them to be entertained, educated. We want them to see great value in the show, regardless of whether they're buying a boat or an RV. So the challenge for us every year is to talk to them, see what they're looking for, try to create some fun, new educational hands-on opportunities. So that really, Kevin, is what drives us.
And you do it so well. Of course, you start out right from the beginning. If somebody has no concept of what to do with a boat, you start them out, sit down, we'll give you a seminar in Fred's Shed and Do-It-Yourself Paradise and learn about it.
Yeah, there are a couple angles to that. I mean, we have an area that's called Welcome to the Water Center. And, you know, that is a combination of a couple of things. We have a series of affordable boats. We used to do a thing called the Affordability Pavilion. It's kind of evolved into this. And we're showcasing in there boats that can be financed for under $250. I mean, a lot of people always think, per month I should sell, a lot of people always think, Kevin, that boating is for the rich and famous. And the reality of it is that 83% of Americans that own boats have an average household income of less than $100,000. 60-some percent have an average household income of less than $75,000. So it can be very affordable. So in there, you see affordable boats. We have a series of seminars on there that we call Boating 101, and it's how to shop a boat show, how to pick out the right boat for your family or your friends, how to navigate the world of financing a boat. So we do a lot of things designed for the very, the guy that's first, looking at it and interested in pursuing that dream. Fred Shed, which you mentioned, is incredible because it's a brand-new do-it-yourself thing, kind of designed like the old Tool Time with Tim Taylor.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So very cool, custom-built display. But, the idea there is not everyone can go out and buy that new boat. So take that one that you've got, learn how to do fiberglass repairs or upholstery repairs or, winterizing the boat yourself. So a lot of things designed to make it easier for people, give them a little bit more knowledge, which makes the whole experience better.
You know, you have something this year which is new, and it's kind of new in the industry itself, and I took it up last year. It is a ball, and that's stand-up paddleboarding.
I'm glad that you took it.
Great.
It is phenomenal and one of the fastest-growing activities, outdoor activities, in the country, and it is sweeping the nation by storm. And if you've done it, you know that not only is it great to be in the great outdoors, but it is fun, it's healthy, it builds, strength in your legs and your core. It's great for balance. We're working with a group called Paddle and Trail. They've got several locations, I think, in Loves Park and Aurora and up in Beloit, Wisconsin, and one of the premier paddle sports retailers in the country. And so they brought in paddle boards, they brought in kayaks and all sorts of other things, but the really cool thing about it is their focus on education. You can try a paddle board, a stand-up paddle board, if you choose to here. We've got a pool set aside for kayaking and paddle boarding and such, so great seminars, great opportunity to learn so much more about that segment of the industry.
It's a lot of fun, and it's everybody can do it, or if you feel more comfortable sitting than standing, like you say, get into a kayak.
Absolutely right, and we're excited about that. That's something called Paddle Fest, as a matter of fact, and to take it another step, we also have, as you'd mentioned earlier, scuba diving, and people are like, I don't get scuba diving. Why would, But the reality is that in the Great Lakes, they're phenomenal scuba diving. You don't have to go to the Caribbean or the Great Barrier Reef to enjoy it. Great scuba diving. We're working with Scuba Emporium out of Orland Park. Great group. We have a 32-foot pool here, 4 feet deep.
Huh.
You can try scuba for the very first time, and then whether you're enjoying it again in the Caribbean or the Great Lakes, a great activity, and I think you need a boat to go do it, so it all works out beautifully.
And again, you start from the beginning, as I said before. You even have a kind of a seminar on the history of boat building and the evolution of boat building.
Yeah, we do. We've had a focus on antique boats for a couple of years, and I think people are always fascinated by looking at the craftsmanship and just the magnificence of some of these boats. We've taken, again, a step further because we wanted to show people the evolution of it. So you see a boat, just kind of the frame of it initially, and then a couple of boats in different aspects of development to the final product. We also have craftsmen that are there showing the process of how to build boats, the old wooden boats. People are fascinated by, again, hands-on things when they can watch and learn. And again, it's great to look at a pretty, pretty boat and go, wow, isn't that something? And it wouldn't have been fun to live in yesteryear, but to have the opportunity to see how these craftsmen build these things, just fascinating. It's going to be so cool.
What is it, that mahogany boat that you see on some of the northern lakes? They polish it up. It's just beautiful. Chris Craft, just a beautiful old wooden boat that you would see somewhere up in New York State or something like that.
Absolutely. And actually, the focus in this one, there was a brand called Gage Hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And actually was the premier wooden boat before Chris Craft came along.
Okay.
And so, they're real big up in the Lake Geneva area and just magnificent to take a look at these. But, yeah, those and Chris Crafts and so many others that, whose names have long since gone away.
Sure.
But phenomenal stuff to look at. And, again, really cool learning and understanding how that process is done.
And this is something I know you and I enjoy, and that's the seminars which deal with the camp cooking and the outdoors learning buffet. It's kind of nice because everybody likes a shore lunch, and this will show you how simple it is to make one.
Well, we talk all the time about boating. I mean, it is primarily a boat show. We get that. But a big part of this show, also the RVs. The RV lifestyle is incredible. People love it. It gets them in the great outdoors, which is all we're really in favor of. We want people enjoying the great outdoors. Well, part of that is a series of seminars focused on, again, how to enhance that whole RV lifestyle. Whether, again, it's working on your own RV, different places to go. But you touched on the camp cooking show, which is just a blast. There are two guys, professional stand-up comedians and trained chefs, Pat Mack and Mike Faverman. They are so fun, so funny, but they've taken it a step beyond grilling hot dogs and doing s'mores out there. They're teaching you how to, again, cook incredible gourmet meals out in the great outdoors. All of it's set up for sampling. They give you recipes. It's so much fun.
You know, you have, and I said this earlier, introducing the show, you have been doing this yourself, Keith, for 82 years. It's remarkable to...
Yeah, I sound pretty good, don't I?
Wonderful, remarkable. But to keep the energy, enthusiasm that you have year in and year out, and as I said before, and it's such a compliment to you and to your staff and everybody who works on the boat show, to make it new and innovative and enthusiastically energetic every year, that's not easy to do, and you start the day after this one closes.
You know, we opened at 2 o'clock this past Thursday, and the minute we open a show, we're working on next year because we're talking to people and we're asking what they think of it, and, you know, seeds are planted. We're passionate about what we do because what we do is fun, Kevin. You know, organizing a show, yeah, a lot of details and a lot of heartache and a lot of things go into it, but we're talking about the great outdoors, and the sole purpose of what we do is to get people involved in boating and to get into RVs. So really, it's a labor of love what we do, and so the long hours and all the things we go through, it's because we love what we do. That makes it a lot easier.
You know, I think that interesting those statistics that you had mentioned about who owns a boat, and it's not out of the budget. Of course, if you want something that's 100 feet long, it's a little might be out of your budget,
oh, sure.
But something that's enjoyable, you can go on to the lakes and to the rivers and so forth and enjoy. It's all within people's budget, just a matter of working it out.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you can't put a dollar value on spending incredible quality time with your family or your friends. And you know, yeah, people can go on the vacation of a lifetime to the Caribbean or to Hawaii or to Europe. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you've got some memories and you've got a photo album. If you have a boat or an RV, you've got a lifetime of memories that are handed down from generation to generation. It's so funny at this show, oftentimes we'll see families of three generations. And, you know, once you're a boater, once you experience that lifestyle, you know, the stories, the fun, the experiences, the smiles on your faces, you know, it's so funny. People always joke that the two best days in a boater's life is when they buy the boat, when they sell the boat. No. The two best days in a boater's life are weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And that's the absolute truth. And, you know, at this show, again, everything from, you know, you can get certainly kayaks for $1,200 or you know, and up, or inflatables. But, you know, we've got aluminum fishing boats for as low as $12,000. We've got pontoon boats, you know, great pontoon boats, beginning at $16,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And pontoon boats, you know, have, again, one of the hottest segments in boating because they're versatile, they're fun. They now you can buy, you know, the Mercedes-Benz of pontoons with, you know, twin engines on the back of it and fully decked out, and you can water ski off a pontoon, which no one had ever thought of. So, again, there is a boat for everybody and every budget, and this show is remarkable because it is a buying and selling environment. It's not like the auto show. You can, yeah, the deals are ridiculous. The financing is available. If, you know, you see a boat that you think is the one that's for you, go and negotiate the deal of a lifetime and then step across the aisle to another dealer and do the same thing, and you'll be amazed at how much better the original deal is going to get for you. It really, it's incredible. It's like I hate to minimize it, but it's like a flea market for boats and RVs. It's incredible.
And I want to underline, this is a great family weekend, too. Come down, enjoy the benefits of the city of Chicago. Stay at some of the great hotels that we have in and around the city of Chicago. Of course, downtown, great restaurants. But spend a day, spend a couple days down at the boat show and have a just terrific weekend.
And I love it, the way you put that. And something, again, as a reminder to all your listeners, we're open Monday this year. We're trying something new.
That's a great idea.
I'm staying open on Martin Luther King Day. You know, I my kids are a little bit older, but I recall that, you know, a time when, you know, you're kind of sitting around, well, what do we do? You know, you're past the holidays and the excitement of the holidays kind of beyond, and you're sitting there, well, what do we do on a day off? And we've got the answer for you. You know, come on down to the boat show. See what we've got. Again, there is so much fun here for kids and for families, and as simple as just the trout pond, which is a staple that we will forever have. But oftentimes, Kevin, it's the first time a little kid catches a fish.
Sure.
You've created memories right there, and So between that and all the other things we've mentioned, it's not just about buying boats or RVs. It's about experiencing everything that's here and really getting excited about the great outdoors.
Cure those winter blues at the Progressive Insurance 82nd Annual Chicago Boat, Sports, and RV Show through January 16th. Midwest's premier outdoor show offers the best in boats, RVs, and equipment, plus ultimate in summer fun with new on-the-water activities and interactive learning exhibits. And on the line with us right now is the general manager of the boat show, our good pal, Keith Agalna. Keith, maybe a phone number or website for our listeners?
Go to the website. Always the easiest one. Just go to www.chicagoboatshow.com. Everything you want is there. If you're interested in, you know, the do-it-yourself seminars, you can see the entire schedule. Same for the RV seminars. Same for everything else. One thing I failed to mention, of course, is the Rail Jam, which are the professional wakeboarders.
Oh, sure, right.
I had it last year. So much fun. So all the schedules of all the things we're doing right on the website. Gives you directions how to get to McCormick Place. Everything you and your listeners would ever need, Kevin.
Always a pleasure, my pal, and thank you for doing what you do year in and year out. I'm going to see you today a little later, and I'm going to stop by, say hello. Maybe we'll throw a couple lines in the water.
Love to do it. Kevin, thanks so much. Have a wonderful morning. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, my pal.
All right.
Bye-bye. Keith Agalna, the general manager of the 82nd Annual Chicago Boat, RV, and Outdoor Show through Monday, January 16th in McCormick Place. For information, 312-946-6262. Something that we look forward to every year has become a tradition, of course, down at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, and that's the Too Hot to Handle Jazz Gospel Messiah for a rousing tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, January 14th and 15th. The 2012 production features three Chicago-based soloists, tenor Roderick Dixon, soprano Alfreda Burke, and alto Karen Marie Richardson. Brett Batterson, executive director of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, is pleased to announce that the beloved Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, returns to Chicago's National Historic Landmark Auditorium Theater for a special tribute to the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King for two public performances only, Saturday, January 14th at 7:30 and Sunday, January 15th at 3. The Auditorium Theater will be filled with the joyous sounds and exuberance of this jazz and gospel all-American reinvention of Handel's Messiah. Since its debut in 2005, Too Hot to Handle has continued to grow in popularity each year. Howard Reich of the Chicago Tribune raves, ingeniously reimagined to embrace black musical tradition, the aptly named Too Hot to Handle prove that even the most revered classical masterpieces can be taught to swing. And on the line with us right now is Alfreda Burke, an award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, an operatic soprano who has performed with the Chicago Symphony and the Milwaukee Symphony, has appeared in Ravinia and the Grant Park Musical Festival, is a proud graduate at Roosevelt University, Chicago College of the Performing Arts, where we proudly served together on its board. And Roderick Dixon, an award-winning star, has appeared on stage and in concert in a variety of dramatic roles that encompass the repertoire of both classic and contemporary opera, oratorio, concert recital, musical theater, and television, who has been seen on The Today Show and the Tony Awards, and together with Karen Marie Richardson will be appearing January 14th and 15th in what has become an annual tradition at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah. On the line with us right now is both Alfreda Burke and Roderick Dixon. How you doing, gang?
Fine, and you, Kevin?
Well, it's great to have you here, and certainly Happy New Year to you both, and we're everybody in Chicagoland and beyond is looking forward to Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah.
Thank you. We certainly are looking forward to it, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Well, thank you so much, and I know you've been preparing, and I know you've been doing some outreach to some of the schools and going to some of the schools and explaining to the kids what this is all about. Have you gotten a nice reception about that, Alfreda?
Yes, we were at Michelle Clark Magnet High School just now, and it's wonderful reception. The students were fabulous.
Rod, do you see people coming up to you, the young men, and going, how do you do that?
Yeah, the students were just asking that question today at the master class that was held to speak about contemporary music and traditional music that's basically from classical music to contemporary music. And the young men wanted to know, how to, one, produce so much sound with the voice. And they were very interested in, knowing the difference between recitatives and figured bass and improvisation. And also bridge a gap between, they don't know the terms, but when they begin to realize that they know the tradition in African-American music, and they begin to realize that there wasn't too much difference, except in terms of terminology. So the kids are really enthusiastic, and we were well-received.
Can you tell when you're talking to some of these young people that they have a talent or they have a sincere interest and an enthusiasm to trying to figure out how this all works in hopes of maybe someday down the line, much as you two have been very successful, make a career out of it?
Yes, many of them wanted to know how they could continue on and study formally, you know, train and develop their instruments, and they sang for us. So they have wonderful tones at their age now, and they just wanted to build upon that. So we work with them one-on-one and talk about how you produce, you know, the tone production, the pedagogy of everything technically, what's going on with the body physiologically and the muscle groups and diaphragmatic muscles. So we did hear, you know, some transformations taking place right here on the spot.
right before your eyes. That's kind of interesting. You know, this, of course, Too Hot to Handle has been such a success. Of course, Brett Batterson being the catalyst for bringing this to Chicago and so forth. And it's kind of encompassing so many different, what would you call it, musical genres, jazz and gospel and rock and funk. And, you know, as I talk to Brett about this, I dare anybody to come and see Too Hot to Handle and not be standing up most of the performance.
Definitely, because, you know, it's just diverse and styles. And I think it's just something for everybody, because you have, as you name, the jazz and the gospel, the rock, the funk. You have the blues as well. And it still maintains its classical elements and the traditions. Yep. So you have the texts, and all is still there. And so all ages and family members, everybody can enjoy Too Hot to Handle.
Well, you know, all ages too, but, you know, all generations. You see great-grandpas and grandpas and moms, right, and dads and kids and all coming out and enjoying it. I mean, who doesn't enjoy listening to the Hallelujah Chorus?
For sure.
Right. Right.
You know, when you were starting out, Rod, of course, you had your mentors and so forth. Who did you look up to as people that you would like to emulate, or you'd like to pattern your behavior of performance after?
I emulated my mother and father. They both are singers. My mother's a soprano. My father's a very high lyric tenor. And my voice is a combination of both of their sounds, and that started me off. And then when I attended school, college and high school and college, and then, of course, you know, the famous names like Luciano Pavarotti, mm-hmm, and Richie Tucker and Jan Peers, and, you know, those kinds of singers, you know, UC Berling and Carlos Borgonzi. And then, of course, you had Duke Ellington, Quincy Jones. Those guys inspired me, you know. And Leonard Bernstein. It just, growing up in New York, that's what I was surrounded by, you know, those kinds of icons.
You probably could wander around anywhere in New York and kind of run into something where you're going to have some kind of exposure to music in all its different shapes and sizes.
Yes, that is the way it is for New Yorkers and Chicagoans. I think New York and Chicago have that really that tradition of all of the music. For example, you have a major symphony orchestra, you have the opera, you have Broadway, you have music theater here in Chicago, Broadway here. And so both cities have the same DNA when it comes to supporting sound, live music, and art, also in paintings in terms of the museum. So, you know, L.A., of course, is 10-foot towns. They specialize more in music and soundtracks, and movies and soundtracks, and they have their symphony and opera house there as well. But I think the way New York and Chicago are both, in terms of the community, it's more evident. I guess maybe because of the Broadway angles. There's not much Broadway in L.A., but it's more Broadway musicals in New York and Chicago. And that, plus the symphony opera, you get a little bit more of a feel of all the different genres.
You know, Rod mentions Broadway. Of course, the last time you and I talked, Elfrieda, Rod was taking a nap, so he wasn't able to enjoy us, was when we were doing the Broadway show in the auditorium, which was, you know, just... gosh, I just love that. And, of course, you know my favorite is when you sing Day by Day. It's just terrific. But, you know, you have a different type of music when you're singing that Broadway type of music. Do you look at that and say that's kind of you need to kind of vary your repertoire when you're singing in various locations and so forth?
Well, as I told you then, you use all of your, you know, the environments that you came up in and your background. to bring to the music. Of course, you need some formal training, and you have to have a solid technique to switch from genre to genre. And we were both classically and operatically trained, but we still have in our backgrounds, you know, gospel music, and just an appreciation for all kinds of crossover music, Broadway, musical theater, you know, jazz, and on, you know, blues. So just the appreciation and the passion to sing it all, but to sing it healthily, it's there.
This is about the fourth or fifth year that we've had Too Hot to Handle at the auditorium?
Seven.
Holy cats.
Years.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Geez, you were barely out of grammar school when you started this. Do you do it a little differently this year than you did it last year? Do you do it, do you tweak it a little bit? Or how do you,
yeah.
Any changes at all?
Oh. Yeah, it's like anything. All of life, we were telling the kids today, all of life is a stage, so you bring your life's experiences to the table, and it grows even more, and it evolves, and it becomes more your own each time you sing it, and it has just more importance, because this is a labor of love, this piece.
Yeah.
Handel's Messiah, but then, as you said, a reinvention, a recreation of it.
I think what makes it interesting year after year musically, and it's just our friend and I talk about it, and some of the musicians talk about it too, is that mm-hmm. the musicians of Chicago, those who play at Lyric, and some of them who are friends with the musicians at Symphony and Millennium Park and Ravinia that play in Chicago proper, though you have those who the idea, they're not necessarily comfortable with the idea, but they respect the performance practice of the piece. And that's good to hear. You know, mm-hmm. I was talking to a Baroque pianist the other day, and it's not something that they grew up hearing and so forth and so on, but they do respect that the piece has garnered the kind of energy from the city of Chicago during the King celebration, where musicians can come, sit in the dark, and listen to this contemporary take on Handel's Messiah, whether you totally agree with it or not. The most important thing is that it's actually happening. It's something that represents putting people together from all walks of life. You see that on the stage. And then you have this classical orchestra and this big band musicians in the room with this huge rhythm section playing rhythm and blues and funk. And they seem to find this improvisational spirit that changes the piece every year. And so that's important.
You know what I think is so delightful, and it's, of course, always delightful to have you on the show, Alfreda and Roderick, is the fact that you bring such sincerity to what you do, and with that sincerity comes the welcoming feeling that you give people, just in what you did when you shared your talents with these young people this week and chatted with them and so forth. But, you know, some people are a little standoffish when they reach a level of success, certainly the level of success that you have both experienced and enjoyed, but you're still the down-to-earth people willing to share that experience with others. And certainly when we come out and are in the audience enjoying Too Hot to Handle, we almost become and feel a part of this whole performance, and we become participatory in the performance itself, not only certainly as being in the auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, but emotionally and energetically and enthusiastically, and for certainly our listeners and all the people in Chicago that come down to see you and enjoy you year in and year out, I'll say thank you for myself and for all of them.
Thank you.
It's a privilege and an honor to sing this piece. And pieces that are so inspiring and uplifting and powerful.
It's also beautiful that you champion what the Auditorium Theater and Roosevelt University and many of the many of those in the educational sector who are trying to keep the arts vibrant and relevant, so that people can continue to go to live theater. And by having us on your show and talking about crossover and classical crossover, improvisation, and keeping all the different genres up in front of people's visibility in terms of hearing about it, seeing it, and talking about it. It's so important because live theater is important. Our city is the greatest city in the world. It has all the things you could ever want. And Chicagoans really know how to celebrate this whole idea of coming together, inclusion, and working together.
And this piece is all about inclusion.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Rod. I appreciate that. But, you know, you're welcome on my show anytime. You're just too busy to come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, feeding me up because I was unable to come on the show.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Certainly make it up.
I'm just
say this much. Yeah. It's so unbelievable to know that the city of Chicago, who celebrates the King holiday with so many different projects around the weekend, that Too Hot to Handle an Auditorium Theater and Roosevelt University has this unique celebration tradition that brings all the genres together and all the people from all walks of life. And so your show champion that kind of discourse and dialogue and sharing is so, so wonderful, because we just saw the monument go up in Washington, D.C. this past October, and here we are getting ready to celebrate the whole idea of coming together again.
We all celebrate together. The Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University and Exelon proudly present Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, for a rousing tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., January 14th and 15th. The 2012 production features three Chicago-based soloists, tenor Roderick Dixon, soprano Alfreda Burke, and alto Karen Marie Richardson. On the line with us right now are both Roderick Dixon and Alfreda Burke. Guys, I appreciate you taking a little time. It's always a pleasure to have you chatting with us a little bit. And from as I said before, from me and all the listeners and all the people in the city of Chicago who are going to enjoy whatever you do, and certainly Too Hot to Handle. God bless you for what you do and sharing your unique talents with all of us.
Thank you, Kevin. God bless you, too. And thank you so much for all that you do for the city of Chicago,
right,
for Roosevelt University, and for Chicago at large.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'll see you at our next board meeting, Alfreda.
Yes, soon.
Right.
You take care of yourself. Thanks very much, Rob.
All right. Okay.
Always delightful chatting with both Alfreda Burke and Roderick Dixon. Of course, Too Hot to Handle, January 14th and 15th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. For information, 800-982-2787. Certainly a great way to spend a celebration of the Martin Luther King holiday, and certainly a great way to celebrate some great music in the western suburbs. The Performing Arts Center at Metropolis is a nonprofit theater management company dedicated to providing quality entertainment and education to the northwest suburbs. We do this by producing and presenting exceptional productions, developing a superior educational program, and collaborating with the community of Arlington Heights. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman, accomplished actor who has appeared in numerous professional productions and in a variety of roles in feature films, on stage, and in television, entrepreneur, a man sincerely dedicated in bringing his experience and accomplishments to further the continuing work of Metropolis, and the new executive director of the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, now presenting their winter-spring season at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, 111 West Campbell in downtown Arlington Heights, Mr. Charlie Beck. Charlie, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate the lead-in, too. I'm going to have to do my best to live up to that reputation that you just did.
Well, you certainly will, and you started already, and certainly congratulations and welcome to the great world of entertainment, especially at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been great getting on board. I came in the middle of November and feel like I've jumped on board a racing train. And, been having a great time. We had a terrific December with our holiday series, and we're looking forward to the spring as we move into the rest of our subscription series.
Well, you know, it's a great place. Of course, you follow in the footsteps of a good friend of both of ours, Mr. Jim Jarvis, who is now at the Paramount Theater, and just a wonderful place with a great staff, a great group of people that help contribute to the success of Metropolis, and it's just a matter of making it bigger and better, and certainly those expectations are there, and I'm sure that those will be fulfilled.
Absolutely, and I was fortunate to have worked here several times as an actor, and got to know some of the staffers that are still part of the Metropolis family, so it was great to come in and get reacquainted with all of them. And I've been spending a lot of time out in the lobby before every show meeting our audience, and you're absolutely right. I think we have continued to have a great reputation for the quality of work that we put on stage, and we will make sure that that continues on into the future.
Well, it's a great venue. It's a very, as you know, of course, we have our Kevin Moore Presents shows out there, have for the last few years. We've done Rodgers and Hammerstein, and we've done Andrew Lloyd Webber. We've done Irving Berlin. Coming up, we're going to be doing George Gershwin. It's just a great venue. It's a venue where you feel very intimately part of what's going on stage, and you always have different genres of entertainment on the stage, which is very remarkable.
Yeah, and I think that's one of our strengths. We're not just in one particular area. We do great theatrical productions, which we produce in-house. We bring wonderful concert entertainment to the stage. We're looking forward to having the Gershwin program you mentioned on April 25th. We just had a concert over the weekend, a tribute band called Really Dan. And in the lobby before and after the show, that was one of the constant comments, was the size of the house.
Right.
Being only 329 seats, you're not that far from the stage, so you really get that great energy going back and forth between performer and audience, and that's, I think, a unique asset of Metropolis that we all certainly appreciate.
You know, something that's going to be going on, kind of an interesting comedy, The Complete History of America. Fortunately, it's abridged.
Indeed, and I'll tell you, I sat through the dress rehearsal two nights ago. We get ready for our preview performance tonight. Open up on Sunday. This is going to be just a terrific show for the winter, especially now that it's snowing outside. I'll tell people, you know, if you want to come in and get away from the cabin fever, have a great night of fun, interactive, hilarious entertainment, and learn a few things about American history that you may not have known, this is the show for you. So very excited about that opening. And our three actors in the cast, Michael Woods, Adam Kander, Matt Labatka, just bring energy and comedic talent that's just terrific. It's going to be a real crowd pleaser.
Of course, coming up in February, Los Lobos, a great entertainment group.
Yeah. And I've been very happy to see, and this was something I think Jim Jarvis gets a lot of credit for. He started to get ambitious in bringing on some of the larger name talent that's out there. Grammy Award-winning Los Lobos, as you mentioned, is coming at the end of February. We've also got Bret Michaels coming in March 13th.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, you're going to be able to see some pretty big-name acts in a very small, intimate setting, and I know Bret Michaels in particular is very interested in coming into a house that's a lot smaller than he usually plays so that he can have that kind of interaction with the audience, and the audience will love it because you're going to be right there with these stars.
And what's interesting, too, and we don't want to fail to mention this, a lot of the stars, and I'm going to use Bret Michaels as an example, dedicate. I mean, because like you say, they're used to playing some big amphitheaters and arenas when they go out, but this is especially a concert that benefits the Metropolis School of Performing Arts. A lot of those entertainers like to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a great response. He's been terrific in planning to come out. We're working on some other benefit concerts. I can't reveal the name of the artist, but the artist community, when you talk about doing a benefit, really rallies around certainly the Metropolis, as they do all over the country. And I think that's one of the great things about the arts community, you know, that we do step up and put our talents toward worthy causes like that.
And we don't want to fail to mention that you have a great School of the Performing Arts for the young people, and it is as large and growing and as vibrant as any of the schools and any of the entertainment venues in the Chicagoland area.
It is certainly one of the gems and one of the least known gems, so shame on us for not promoting it more than we do, but you're absolutely right. We have upwards of 2,000 kids who go through a variety of programs ranging from acting classes, musical theater. We have a group of very talented young ladies called the Limelight Singers who just actually appeared with Really Dan on Saturday. It's a number in their concert. And then on the musical side of the house, we have faculty instruction, you know, a wide range of musical instruments and vocal instruction as well. I'm also particularly happy that a good portion of the school works with kids that have special needs. We have some great relationships with Clearbrook, the Northwest Special Recreation Association, for example, where kids that don't normally get to interact with the kind of faculty that we have here to work with the arts and just brings that talent to them. And we've got a group of kids I saw the other day with Down syndrome, and they just light up.
They're
working on a great show. So pretty broad-ranging, but, yeah, it's a gem of the operation, and we certainly want to let people know about it. If they've got kids that have aspiration for the arts, I think this is as good a place, if not better, than anything you could find in the metro area for that sort of education.
That brings a tear to your eye because it's so worthwhile. All these kids need is a little exposure like that, and I bet you they blossom like a flower.
They do, indeed. Yeah. They do. I've even seen classes with little babies, 1 and 2 year olds, that are playing with rhythm instruments. It's just I can't get over all the different things that we do. But not to neglect, too, for seniors and older folks like me. We have a lot of adult programs for people who want to refine their acting skills or take voice lessons, want to learn a musical instrument if they've not done so yet in their life. So we really serve a wide range in the school operation. We're very proud of the School of Performing Arts.
You know, you've worn a lot of different hats. You've been in the entertainment industry, as I've said before, as an actor, as a director, as a producer, as a writer, as participatory, and all different types of aspects of the entertainment world. And now you're an administrator. What, how did this all come about?
As I said in some of my discussions with the Board of Trustees when they were conducting their search, I really feel like had I been writing a script for where I'd like to see the next 5, 10, whatever years of my life go, this would be the perfect chapter in terms of where to go, because it does bring together all those elements that you just described. I spent 20 years in the business community when I first got out of college and had my own consulting business for many, many years. And got tired of doing that, and I went back to my first love, which was the performing arts. And really, for the last decade plus, that's what I had been doing in and around the Chicago area. So when the opportunity came, I had happened to have bumped into Jim Jarvis, and he told me he was leaving. I just jumped at the chance to put my hat in the ring, and lo and behold, here I am. And I couldn't be more excited about it and more passionate about it. I think it's just a great combination of all the skills that I bring to the table.
Well, it'll be a new era. It'll be called the Beck era.
There you go.
No, I think that's terrific. I really do. And I think that you never know where the trails are going to lead you. Of course, serendipity, the good fortune or luck of making interesting, fascinating, or desirable discoveries by chance. And here you are in a very serendipity moment. And look how it's turned out. Very interesting.
Absolutely. And it just feels so right. You know, I've been here about 8 weeks now, and it just seems like it's only been a day because it's been so exciting. I've been having such a great time, you know, getting comfortable with the staff, learning the operational side of the business, and reaching out to the community. That's another area that we're really going to focus on as we go forward. We really consider ourselves a resource for the whole Northwest Suburban area. And any civic organization or group that's looking for any type of entertainment support, charitable groups in particular, we have a couple of programs that we've just launched. One is called Tickets for Hope, where we're going to partner with area charities. We've already raised about $5,000 to provide free tickets to people that are sort of struggling right now. Economy's looking better, but there's still a lot of people that are hurting, and mm-hmm. if we can get them a night out of town just to lift their spirits a little bit, I think that'll be a good thing.
Well, anything we can do to get the word out, my pal, we're a resource. Anything you need from us, we're here for you. For our listeners, maybe a website or phone number if they'd like to get some information.
Sure. MetropolisArts.com is the website, and you can contact me directly anytime, 847-577-5982. That'll put you into the box office if you want to order some tickets, but they can direct your call up to me, and I really would love to hear from our audience and be in touch with people to see what they're thinking, see what they'd like to see, and get some feedback on how they think we're doing.
Well, a pleasure taking a little time with you, Charlie, and as we enter into the Beck era, it's only great time for the Metropolis Performing Arts Center.
Well, I appreciate the good wishes. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come on and introduce myself to the area, and look forward to great things, and I'm definitely looking forward to your Gershwin show coming up in April.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you, my pal. Thank you for everything.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Charlie Beck from the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, their new executive director. Well, that about does it for our show today. I'd like to thank, of course, our guest, Charlie Beck, the new executive director of the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. For information, 847-577-2121. Elfreda Burke and Roderick Dixon, Too Hot to Handle at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, January 14th and 15th. For information, 800-982-2787. And, of course, Keith Ogulnick, the general manager of the 82nd Annual Chicago Boat, RV, and Outdoors Show. For information, 312-946-6262. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
How do you lose yourself to someone and never lose your way? How do you not run out of new things to say?
Why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes.